For Brother Eric, I put in the second definition. Irregular fluctuations that accompany a transmitted electrical signal but are not part of it and tend to obscure it. Right? So different kinds of noise, right? We think of noise of physical hearing of something that is distracting, right? Something that is maybe supposed to be there or can be there, but it's loud and sometimes it's just really causing disturbance. It's noise. In the event of some type of electronic device, it's causing some type of interference. It's obstructing what's supposed to be happening by the design of the product or whatever it is that was intended to do. Noise. We have noise in our life. What noise do you have in your life? That's the question. Does that noise hinder your ability to hear God's voice and direction in your life? If it's noise, like the definition of a sound, then it causes disturbances. Therefore, it must be hindering you able to hear what God is really calling you to do. That noise then may lead us to the misunderstanding that God does not hear us, or perhaps that He doesn't even care about us. If I ask for a raise of hands showing how many people here believe that God cares about every part of our lives, I'm sure I would see many hands rise. God really care about every decision I make? Does He care about every challenge I have? Does He care about every issue in my life? Every problem that occurs? Does He care about every success that I've had? Every discovery? Every victory? Does He care about every heartache? Every worry? Every fear? Of course He does. It is true that God cares about each of us deeply. He cares when we cry, and He cares when we laugh. He cares about our weaknesses, and He cares about our strengths. There's not one thing that happens to us in any given day that God is not aware of or in touch with. Do you believe that? God cares. So perhaps the issue that we have missed is not if God cares, but rather, do I recognize His presence and touch in every area of my life? My life filled with so much noise that it is impossible for me to hear God and what He's trying to say to me. Is it possible that in your life there's so much noise, so much going on, that you don't recognize the touches that happen every day in your life that are divinely set by God? Is that possible? Sure it is. You know, this little video, that little 3-minute segment there, is a picture of many of our lives. We wake up early and we have our agendas and we're exercising and we're getting the kids off to school, and then at the end of the day we're getting them into bed, and then our day is filled with activities. We're bombarded by news and media and information coming through the car radio and information coming through the television and information coming through the computer, and it's just bam, 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 bam all day long. And then we get to the end of the day and we fall exhausted into bed and we wonder, gee, where was God today? Where was God today? Did He touch my life today? How come I can't hear Him? How come I can't see You, Lord? I've been praying about a situation, but yet You're not answering me. But is your life filled with so much noise that you don't hear it and you don't see it? If you're going to open your Bible, we're going to be in Psalm 46 today. A psalm that we've covered in the past. A great psalm. A short psalm. Only 11 verses. That's what we're going to cover today. And we just sang a song that happened after the psalm. Verse 1. This is the New American Standard. So it's going to rub you a bit wrong when we get to verse 10. That's all right. Stick with me. You'll hear it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. By the way, that word Selah, if you are not familiar with what that is an intended pause. That's what that word means, an intentional pause in a thought. So I'm not going to read the word Selah every time we go through these, but whenever you've read that in the Psalms and you see that word Selah, it is means pause, stop. The thought's going to change a bit. Think about what you just read, and now we're going to move on, all right? Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Promise number one in this passage. Right in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. Refuge. Refuge. A condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. I thought we probably knew what refuge was. But it's a condition of being safe. Condition. The word condition kind of gives a different spin to this definition, doesn't it? If God is our refuge, then and we are in God and we are His, we're always in a condition of being safe. It doesn't mean the environment we're in is safe. That doesn't mean the things around us are perfectly in control or in order compared to our perspective. But we are safe. God is our refuge and strength. Are you in a condition of being safe? You are if you have accepted God's love and free gift of grace through Jesus Christ. Everyone that has accepted God's gift of eternity through Jesus is in the condition of refuge. Well, then that begs to say that if you haven't committed your life to Christ and you haven't accepted His gift of grace, you are not in refuge. You are in disorder. You are very unsafe. You are in a very bad place to be. And you might find comfort and some solace of satisfaction of your environment when things happen to go your way for one reason or another. But you are not safe. You are not in refuge. We are God's, and we have accepted Jesus Christ, and God is in us, and therefore we are part of Him, His body. Our strength comes from Him. If it was dependent on my own ability to be strong in all things and through all things, then I simply am going to fail. So it's God who is my strength. That's what the psalmist is writing. If it is dependent upon me to define what my refuge is, if it's dependent upon me to define what it is to be strength or to be secure, I'm going to fail at that. I don't have that ability. It is only through God, through His refuge. He is our strength. God is a very present help in trouble. He is there when trouble exists. He has not left us or abandoned us. He has not left us to fend for ourselves when the trouble comes. Verse 1, a very present help in trouble. That's where God is. He's right there. In the midst of the chaos, God is there. So I have a story to share with you. As you know, we just come back from our annual, what has become our annual Christmas exodus from the wonderful chilly weather of Ohio to somewhere a bit sunnier and warmer. And I'm going to use the doctor's excuse. My doctor says you need to have more sunlight, so I'm going south when I need to get more sunlight. There you go. But on our travels this year, we had some challenges. We left on a Saturday a couple weeks back. Beautiful weather here, 50-degree day. God bless us, a great day to travel. And we got down into West Virginia. We had stopped at the Tamarack Plaza off of the turnpike there in West Virginia. Many of you know where I'm talking about. Got back on the highway after we filled up with gas and were headed past a toll booth. Got going on the highway about 10 minutes, heading up a steep incline there where it's called Ridgetop, is the peak of that particular area there. And the truck just died. Stopped running completely. Now, I'm pulling a 31-foot travel trailer. It's about 8,000 pounds, all right? Not to mention all the junk we can throw inside of it, all right? That's not a good feeling to be on the highway at 50, 55 miles an hour, up a hill, trying to get to the top of this ridgetop, and your vehicle dies. Thank the Lord we were in the right lane, able to pull over off to the side and be in a safe, secure spot to park, to call for help. Couldn't get it to start, couldn't get it to happen. It wasn't something I could resolve. I'm an insurance guy. My mechanical knowledge is to dial Farmers Towing Service. That's about it. All right, and that's what I did. Well, we sat there for a long time. For 2 hours, we were waiting for a tow truck. 2 hours. And 2 hours into this thing, I'm doing what I do best, which is what I'm doing right now. Pacing back and forth, all right? That's what I do best. I'm outside of the truck on the side, and I'm just wearing a pot in the grass, back and forth, just wearing it down. And Darla and the kids are in the truck, safe and buckled up, and sometimes they'll come out and poke and prod at me, but for the most part, they know Dad's in the zone, let him just pace, he'll be fine. I'm pacing back and forth. After 2 hours, no tow truck. Starting to get dark, beginning to get a little nervous, thinking of some bad things that I remember happening to people broken down on highways in the years past. We are in West Virginia. Need I say more, right? Darla comes out after 2 hours and says, you know, we've been praying, God's going to take care of us. I said, oh, I know He will. She goes, but I'm just amazed that nobody has stopped. Nobody has stopped to ask if we need help. After 2 hours, the second she said that, a car pulled in. And this little girl must have been about 19 years old in this little car. And she gets out, and I'm walking towards her, and she's walking towards me, and she said, are you okay? Is there something I can do to help you? And I'm like, you know how to fix an engine? You know, there's nothing you can do for me. You're 19 years old. You're in this little tiny car. I'm like, what could you possibly do for me? I said, it was really nice of you to stop. I said, we're all right. I'm waiting for a tow truck. We'll be fine. But thanks for stopping. And there's nothing she could have done. But you know what? There's something she did do. I believe this. I'm just trying not to break up here. That is God. You can be in a challenge and so misfocused that you forget that God brings little angels in our lives to remind us of his presence. She couldn't help me. She couldn't help us. But she helped us more than you know, because Darda said, I bite my tongue. I said, I can't believe nobody stopped, and God in that second had somebody stop. Is that coincidence? No. God saying, I am there to help you in the times of trouble. Now, I could have blown it off and said, oh, you know, isn't that nice, you know, and, you know, no. It was clearly God's divine intervention in our lives at that moment to remind us that God says, I do care for you. I know the situation you're in, and I'm going to take care of you. All in those troubles, folks, from time to time. Do you recognize God's hand reaching into your life, into the chaos and the noise of what's going on, and saying, I'm here. I forgot about you. We needed that little girl to stop that day. He did more for our morale and focus than she will ever know. I don't know where she was coming from. She said she was on her way to South Carolina. Didn't live anywhere in the area. I'm thinking, Kaylee, don't ever stop on the highway next to somebody like that and ask them for help when you're alone. Right? But that's God. It's bigger than that. God is bigger than that. We got on, our tow truck came, got us hooked up, got us taken to Princeton, which was about 15 miles down the road. Couldn't find anybody who would stay open on a Saturday afternoon to help us out from a large dealership. We found a mom and pop small shop that would take care of us. That was another experience to pull in there and to trust that we were going to be fine. And we pulled in there, but the trailer had to be parked. The tow truck had our truck on the flatbed and had the trailer hooked to the hitch. All right. West Virginia camping. All right. And we pulled into that car repair shop and just praying, Lord, you know what we need. We're going to trust in you. And parked that trailer next to that lot, which was a bit of a challenge because we found out after the fact that that mechanic and the neighbor did not get along. And now I'm parked in her lot. And we weren't there for more than a half an hour before somebody came by and telling us we had to move. And I'm like, my truck's over there, and we're stuck here. So we got together as a family, and we started praying, because she was upset. And she was going to go get her grandma who owned this business, and we got to get that vehicle, that trailer off her lot today, now. So we prayed again, and God brought a peace upon our family that said, don't worry, I'm here, got this thing taken care of. And it actually turned out to be a very nice conversation with the lady that owned the business when she came. Regardless of her conflict with her neighbor, we didn't become part of that. And we were able to make a couple friends in the meantime. But God never forgets our situation. God never forgets where we're at. He knows exactly what we need. He knows our challenges, and he knows what's coming before we even see it. And our responsibility is what? Trust. Trust. And isn't that the hardest thing to do? That's the hardest thing to do, is to trust. So Jesus talked about trust in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about trust in the one area that we, I think, are the least trusting to God of. Our abilities to meet our own needs. Our abilities to take care of our own challenges by whipping open the pocket and grabbing the credit card or the cash and taking care of the situation, right? No man can serve two masters, Jesus said, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will you eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? Perhaps we might add, what will the doctor say? What's my boss going to do? What's going to happen to my job? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God knows what we need. God knows what you need. Jesus taught us not to worry about these things. But are you hearing his voice when he says, I'm right here. You have a need, you have a concern, I'm right here. He's speaking to us. God does use others to remind us that he cares about us. We need to claim that promise and make it our own. We go back to the Psalm 46, verse 2 and 3. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. You know, when your world is literally falling apart around you, the psalmist says, I will not fear. There are days that we have when we feel that the weight of the world is bearing down. We feel that the earth is just shattering around us. When we feel that life and all that it has been thrown is simply just overwhelming. We just can't even take it anymore. You know that feeling I'm talking about? Can we say, I will not fear? Can you claim that promise? God is my refuge. God is my strength. The world's going to be unstable. There's going to be pressures of life. There's going to be times when Satan attacks the family because you have a work to do for his kingdom. Can you claim his promise and say, God, you are my refuge, you are my strength, I will not fear. Verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This goes on to talk about there is a place that is stable. Our world may get rocked and be unstable, but God's kingdom is sure. It is secure. He is with us. He is our stronghold. He is the thing that we can grasp onto and know that it is unmovable. We need to hold on to his works and his greatness, knowing that it is his eternal kingdom that is our goal. That is where our strength comes from. The psalmist transitions here in verse 9 and 10 to start speaking about us and our situation and who God is, to God speaking directly to us. God says, cease striving. Stop fighting against it. Stop struggling. He says instead, shh, be still. Know that I am God. Know in your disarray of your situation, know in the challenges that you're facing, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that you can get yourself out of the mess? No. That you have all the money that you need? No. That your job is secure and you are in control? No. Shh. Listen. Stop striving and be still and know. Know what? Be still and know that I am God. That I am God. The God of the universe. The God that truly has the whole world in His hands. The God that never sleeps or slumbers. We must know and acknowledge that He is God. Verse 11 of that psalm says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. He is the God of Jacob. He is our stronghold. He is our peace." May God bless His word this morning. Choir, we have a special number.